Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The sanction of last resort and why it hasn't been resorted to yet. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. As Russian troops approach Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, Russia has agreed to talks with Ukraine's government. The European Union, meanwhile, is getting ready to freeze the assets of Russian President Vladimir Putin and his foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov. That would come on top of sanctions already approved by the U.S., Europe, and Japan. Those measures include freezing assets of major Russian banks and limiting their ability to conduct international transactions. But there is one powerful sanction the U.S. and its allies have not been able to agree on. That is kicking Russia out of the SWIFT interbank messaging system. Marketplace's Nova Sappho is here with more on that.
Hi, Sabri.
So this SWIFT system is a way for banks around the world to basically talk to each other. Why is it so important, and why not kick Russia out of it?
Well, in many ways, its importance is the reason why not. Banks use SWIFT to securely exchange messages and move money around. While Russia is a major world economy, and cutting it out of SWIFT means essentially cutting its economy from the global system, and that could have all kinds of unintended ripple effects, hurt global economic growth. So many world leaders, at least for now, Sabri, think SWIFT is too much of a blunt instrument. They're not ready to go there.
Has it been ruled out altogether, or is it still a possibility, do you think?
Well, Biden administration officials say all options are still on the table, but European allies apparently aren't ready to use SWIFT as a sanctions tool yet. Russia is Europe's fifth largest trading partner. Europe gets nearly half its natural gas imports from Russia. If it's kicked out of SWIFT, how do you process payments for imports? It gets tricky, Sabri.
Well, let's talk about what sanctions have been imposed. What are they? What are they trying to accomplish?
Well, yeah, a lot of this is targeting banks. According to the White House officials and the president, the sanctions are more targeted than if it was SWIFT, and they are trying to avoid blowback on Western economies while causing long-term economic damage to Russia. They want this invasion to be a failed initiative in the long run.
All right, Marketplace's Nova Sappho, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
With all that in the background, the Federal Reserve is trying to figure out how to fight inflation, specifically how much to raise interest rates. Inflation is still very much a problem, even without the disruptions to oil, grain, and commodity supplies we expect to see from the crisis in Ukraine. This morning, the Commerce Department reported that the Federal Reserve's preferred measure of inflation rose about 5% in January compared to last year. That is way above the Fed's 2% inflation target. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has the details.
The Core Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, which Fed officials watch like a hawk, rose last month at the fastest pace since 1983. Consumer spending is fueling the red-hot economy. People bought more stuff, especially cars. When inflation rises like this, the Fed raises interest rates to cool off the economy. People don't spend as much when they have to pay more to borrow. Also, Russia's invasion of Ukraine has pushed up energy prices. Consumers might cut back their spending in response to higher, say, gas prices. The Fed has to keep an eye on that. It doesn't want to increase interest rates so much that it causes a recession. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Buying a home has been getting more difficult lately. Sales of new homes fell 4.5% in January. And the nation's inventory of existing homes that are up for sale hit a record low last month, according to the National Association of Realtors. But there is an exception. Marketplace's Justin Ho reports that in some parts of the U.S., inventories of available homes for sale have been growing it is at the higher end of the housing market.
We're talking about homes in the $500,000 to $1 million price range. Supply of those homes is up in part because that's the price sellers are asking for.
If you're a seller, it's a seller's market.
Gay Carrara-Tone is senior economist with the National Association of Realtors. She says supply of those homes is growing, especially in the South. Mark Vittner, senior economist with Wells Fargo, says a lot of people have been selling homes in the Northeast and moving south, where that money can go further.
And so a larger proportion of the homes that are being built in the South tend to be well above the median. They tend to be at $500,000 or above.
It's also getting more expensive to build houses. Lumber prices are soaring. Other building materials are in short supply. As a result,
builders are trying to build more homes where they have a little bit more room for error.
When homes sell for more, builders can still make a profit if construction costs suddenly rise. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Organizers trying to unionize an Amazon warehouse in Bessemer, Alabama, have filed a complaint with the labor board earlier this week. They are challenging Amazon's right to require employees to attend anti-union presentations at work. These mandatory meetings are known as captive audience meetings, and they are legal, but there are efforts to change that. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
These meetings are usually held at workplaces during work hours where employers make their case.
Basically, you know, the management perspective of what a union is.
Chelsea Cruey is a shift supervisor at a Starbucks in Cleveland, which, along with other Starbucks stores across the country, is petitioning to unionize. Last Wednesday, management shut down her store a couple hours early to hold a meeting. Cruey says managers talked up Starbucks benefits and tried to cast doubt on what paying union dues would achieve.
The biggest thing they've been pushing is, we won't be a family anymore. You know, there will be somebody in between us, and we don't want our relationship to change.
This meeting was just with local managers, but at other stores, the company has brought in executives, including founder Howard Schultz. Often, employers hire anti-union consultants to run the meetings, says Kate Bronfenbrenner, a labor relations professor at Cornell.
It's a very uncomfortable, intimidating setting. Workers feel, if they were to ask questions or challenge the employer, they could lose their jobs.
But employment attorney Krista Mitzel says companies use these meetings to better understand the concerns of workers.
They can then have the opportunity to really get to know what's going on with the workforce, why they're feeling this way, what needs are or are not being met.
Labor activists have argued unions should also be offered that chance and given access to workplaces, says Benjamin Sachs at Harvard Law School.
It would also be a big deal symbolically. It would symbolize that the union was not so much an outsider.
And Sachs says officials are increasingly receptive to that argument. President Joe Biden campaigned on a pro-labor platform that included banning captive audience meetings, and the prosecutor he appointed to the labor board has signaled she'll be pursuing challenges like the one filed by Amazon union organizers. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.